Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who in the Paschal mystery established the new covenant of reconciliation, grant that all who have been reborn into the fellowship of Christ's body may show forth in their lives what they profess by their faith. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the lessons.
When the captain and the temple police had brought the apostles out of the temple, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in his name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you have killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Oh, The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called a twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my fingers in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Jesus answered him, "My Lord, my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen me, yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that we may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Happy Easter!
Happy Easter!
You know, I gotta say, I shouldn't pick favorites, but if I had to pick a favorite of seasons of the church year, this would be mine. Because for 50 solid days, we get to celebrate the resurrection. God's incredible, not only possibility, but way of being that is surprise, that shows us possibility amidst the impossible, and absolute abundance in the presence of scarcity. I love Easter. And I particularly love this week of Easter, because we get to celebrate one of my favorite apostles, Thomas the Brave! No, that's not right. Wait, no, Thomas! The profound. No. What do we call Thomas? Doubting Thomas. So here's my educated opinion. Thomas has been known for millennia by one moment in his life. That sucks. Think about that. Peter denied Jesus three times. We don't call him denying Peter. And the truth is that the example of Thomas as an apostle is beautiful. The arc of his story is incredible. Let me give you some examples. John chapter 11, verse 16. Jesus tells all the disciples that he's going back to Jerusalem to raise Lazarus from the dead. And all the other disciples, they freak out and they say, Jesus, they were just trying to kill you the last time you were back there. Do you want to go back there? And Thomas stands up and says, let us go with him so that we may die also. Thomas the Brave. You know, if you look at the Last Supper in the Gospel of John, there's a very large conversation. And it's Thomas is the one who really pipes up and asks the questions that everyone else is asking but is too afraid to ask. You know, Jesus says, and where I go, you will go with, you will come also. And Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way? And then today in our scripture, chapter 20, verse 28, if you notice, Thomas says that he will not believe unless he touches the wounds and puts his finger in Jesus' side. But when Jesus reappears and Jesus says, go ahead, Thomas, touch him, Thomas doesn't touch him. He says, my Lord and my God. And that's an important phrase because this is one of the clearest indications in the entirety of New Testament scripture that Jesus wasn't simply the Messiah, the Son of God, but Thomas proclaims clearly that Jesus is God, God's self. It's a profound moment and a profound witness to God, to Jesus being part and equal to and of the Godhead. Thomas the Profound. So you see, like all of us, Thomas was much more than his doubt. Indeed, I would argue that doubt is just a part of the Jesus way of life. One of my favorite stories from the Gospel of Mark is Mark chapter 9, verse 24. There's a father whose son has a demon, and the apostles can't cast the demon out. And Jesus shows up, and he's frustrated, and he says, you faithless generation, How long must I put up with you? And the father desperately says to Jesus, I believe. Help my unbelief. I believe. Help my unbelief. I could say that. So I think doubt, at least a certain kind of doubt, is actually not just a part of, but honors the journey of faith. Because the opposite of doubt, I'm sorry, the opposite of faith is not doubt. The opposite of faith is actually something much more deadly to our souls. But before I get to that, what is faith? So I'm going to go by the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So faith is assurance of that what we hope for and conviction of things we cannot see. So in this definition, the opposite of faith is not doubt. The opposite of faith actually has two manifestations. They're sort of the one coin, but the two different sides. And the first side, the first opposite of faith is certainty. Certainty is the opposite of faith. When we have to say to ourselves, it all must be exactly true as I understand it, and there can be nothing outside of that understanding. The concept of biblical literalism, where God gave the Bible to human beings word for word from God, and that there can be no contradictions in Scripture, that idea is only about 200 years old. And it arose at the age of enlightenment and reason, when the human mind began to discover facts. And in fact, the biblical writers themselves, when they quote scriptures from previous eras, when the New Testament writers quote Old Testament scriptures, they don't do it word for word. So that biblical inerrancy is really a modern concept of certainty. If it's outside of that, then it must be wrong. Another aspect of certainty is that of it all must be exactly true as I understand it, or as I believe it. How many of you have friends in any religion, but I experience it most in Christianity, where if you don't believe exactly the things they do, you're not really a Christian? Right. I once attended a conference by a gentleman named Rob Bell, who is an author. He was a couple years ago named one of the 100 most influential people in the world today by Time Magazine. And he's a preeminent Christian thinker. He comes from the evangelical tradition, but a lot of his writing challenges that evangelical tradition. And at this conference, I was with about 50 other people, and many of them said to me, if my lead pastor knew I was here at this conference, I would be fired. Simply for engaging in a different way of thinking, they could have lost their jobs. That's not faith. That's theological fascism. When we define ourselves by what we believe, and anything outside of what we believe is not only wrong, it's dangerous. And so, certainty is a profound unwillingness towards different understandings and experiences. It's a claim that we know all there is to know about God. And anyone that thinks differently is at best wrong, or at worst, must be destroyed. So the first opposite of faith is certainty. The opposite side of that coin, the other opposite of faith, is cynicism. Cynicism. The idea that none of this is really true. Now let me point out, cynicism is not outright rejection. That actually would be a positive thing, because if you outright rejected Christianity, you'd go somewhere else and find another way to be transformed. But cynicism is that we will tolerate concepts of faith, but we will not be transformed by them. Out of our own ego or intellectualism, we will keep a safe and small distance away from God's revelation and God's possibilities. Because we're better than it. So at best, those who choose the path of cynicism will be inaccessible to God's grace because they will never actually confront it. And at worst, they will be bitter because they are starved for God's grace in their lives. So certainty and cynicism are really just two manifestations of being closed off. We close our minds, our hearts, our spirits, and ourselves to God's possibility, the possibility of a new revelation, the possibility of resurrection, the possibility that there may be more than I can control or comprehend. And that'll kill our soul. Doubt is not that. It is not certainty or cynicism. Doubt is okay, provided that it partners with the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Now, the good news is we actually have one word for this concept of doubt that partners with the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. That word is wonder. Wonder. How many of you are familiar with our children's program, Godly Play? Godly Play is an incredible program, not just for children, for adults as well. That at the heart of Godly Play is the premise that children, they have a relationship with God. They have an understanding of God. But what they don't have is the language to express that understanding and experience and relationship. So through sharing biblical stories with them, through beautifully crafted pieces, and a conversation afterwards, the children learn the language of faith and how to use it. And integral to this process are four wondering questions. The beginning of most conversations after the story in Godly Play goes like this. I wonder, what part of the story was your favorite? I wonder what part of the story was most important. I wonder what part of the story is about you. I wonder what part of the story could be left out, and we still have all the story we need. Wondering versus giving answers gives the children an opportunity to claim the life of faith for their own. And lest you think this wondering concept is new to the idea of faith, how many of you have friends who are either Orthodox or conservative Jews? Perhaps you've been to their house and you've seen that they have these little things outside of their doors that are little Torah pieces, and they say prayers for almost everything. The Jewish tradition actually says a lot of prayers for a lot of things. In fact, a very, very conservative friend of mine had one of these prayers outside of his bathroom door that he would say a prayer before he used the restroom every time. Well, there is an ancient rabbinical prayer that rabbis who were studying God's scripture, whenever they came across a piece of scripture that they did not understand, that was beyond their comprehension, they said a prayer that went something like this. Blessed are you, Lord God, King of all creation. I thank you for revealing to me a piece of scripture which I cannot comprehend now, but I put my trust that in some day you will reveal its riches to me. There's a recognition that we don't understand it, but a willingness to be open that more will be revealed. And so wonder in this concept, wonder is that in the face of doubt, or partnering with doubt, we have a hope in, an assurance of, a conviction to God's grace in Jesus Christ. We will trust that grace to transform our lives and flood our souls. And this is the fullness of doubt in the Christian faith. A faith that seeks assurance of things hoped for and the convictions of things not seen. And so I wonder, given this full definition, can we stop focusing all the time on Thomas's doubts? I wonder today, in this Easter season, what God has in store for all of us. I wonder how Christ's resurrection will continue to heal and transform our lives and through our lives, the world. I wonder at the beauty of who we are becoming and who we will become. I wonder.
Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. In accordance with the scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Almighty God, We give you thanks for the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for showing us the path to eternal life. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We ask your blessing on all who have died, that they may know the joy of the resurrection life. I invite you to speak their names aloud. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all who are ill, lonely, or suffering in any way. May they find the peace that passes all understanding. I invite you to speak the names of those who need our prayers. Risen Christ, we pray for all victims of violence, especially for Christians who are being persecuted around the world, that they and their families may find peace and strength. Risen Christ, we pray for those who serve in the military, for their family and friends, that they may be held in the palm of your hand. Risen Christ, we pray for peace throughout the world, especially in the Middle East, Pakistan, and Belgium, that there may be understanding among races and peoples. Risen Christ, we pray for the good use of our natural resources, that we may be led to nurture and maintain this planet. Risen Christ, we pray for the city of Jacksonville. Help us to care for this city. Bless our government and our schools. Help us to show your love here in the core of downtown. Risen Christ, we pray for this cathedral and for all those who walk through these doors, that we may be led to glorify you in all things. We give thanks for all the blessings of this life. Risen Christ, gracious and loving God, our Heavenly Father, you have called us in this diocese to a goodly community of faith. You have called us also to bring others to know and love you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, because it is only by your mercy that we can do those good things you require of us. We pray that you would give us a special measure of your grace as we seek to be obedient to your great commission. Assist us, O Lord, and help us as we set out to do those things you would have us to do, to bring others to the knowledge and love of you. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, "Peace I give you, my peace I leave with you. Regard not our sins, but the faith of your church, and give to us the peace and unity of that heavenly city, where with the Father and the Holy Spirit you live and reign, now and forever."
Amen.
My beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, may the peace of the Lord be always with you.
Well, good morning again. Welcome to the cathedral. If you are new or visiting, please feel free to raise your hand if you'd like some more information, and one of our ushers will bring you an information bag, and you can also fill out a membership or information card in your pews. Lots of stuff going on. Please read your bulletin at some point to see what's happening. A few highlights. Parents of children and youth, after the service today, there will be a parent meeting in Cummings Chapel. Matt Bowers will give a presentation about signing up for Camp Weed. Matt is the director of Camp Weed, and will also discuss youth group events for the rest of the year. Our beloved Sue Engelman has taken a job officially at the Diocesan Center. We miss her terribly, but next Sunday, April 10th, we will celebrate her after this service. So if you'd like to come join us for some cake and say thank you to Sue, we'd love that. Here at the cathedral, we are practicing learning how to respect the dignity of every human being, like we say in our baptismal covenant, by participating in civil discourse, conversations around contentious topics, and learning how to discuss those topics, but also how to be loving to the people we are talking with. Our next one will be on a Monday night, April 11th, we'll have dinner and a discourse, and the topic will be the health care system in America. Please RSVP to Tina Hutchison to join us. Pentecost is Sunday, May 15th. If you or someone you know is interested in being confirmed, please contact the church office. Finally, how many of you have a birthday? How many of you have ever gotten a lovely phone call from the cathedral, specifically a woman named Dot West, on your birthday? Well, guess what? This week, is it today, Dot? The Friday is Dot's birthday! So, instead of having you all call her, I want you to join us in the parish hall for cake afterwards to celebrate Dot's birthday this week. Again, in this resurrection season, I'm so glad you are here. Walk in love as Christ loves us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Oh,
give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your words spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the Word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father,
we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory.
And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country, where with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Saint John, and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Please join me in sending forth our Eucharistic visitor. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread, one cup. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. My brothers and sisters, life is short, and there is too little time to gladden the hearts of those around us. So be swift to love and make haste to be kind. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.